But good to see everybody tonight. And we're going to be in the Old Testament tonight. But before we get there, you know, if you read the Old Testament, especially the historical books, you'll find out that the nation of Israel and Judah, they had a lot of bad kings, didn't they? I mean, there were some really wicked, evil people, men, who governed the nation of Israel during their history in the Scriptures. And sometimes it's hard to pick out a king that was good. There are a few mentioned in the Old Testament Scriptures, in the historical books, historical narrative of the nation of Israel. And we're going to look at one of those kings tonight in 2 Chronicles 34. So turn to 2 Chronicles 34. And he's an interesting king. I haven't heard a whole lot of ministry about him. But in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, we have a narrative about King Josiah and what he did for the nation of Judah. And I think one of the themes of this passage, if you read 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, you'll find out how one person can make a world of difference in the life, in the spiritual life of a nation. And King Josiah certainly did that. And I think it's interesting that he was also, Josiah was also the son of Ammon. That was his father. He was the grandson of Manasseh. If you recall, King Manasseh was arguably one of the most evil, most wicked kings in the history of Israel. But it's interesting about Manasseh, he did repent toward the end of his reign, and he came back to the Lord. And the four kings, I looked at this after Josiah, King Josiah died, the four kings who lived after him, the Scripture said they did evil in the sight of the Lord. So we see we have a number of kings that are wicked in the national life of Israel and Judah, but we also have, every now and then we'll have a good king, and King Josiah was a good king. And we're going to look at some of the reforms that he instituted in the nation of Israel this morning, or tonight, this evening. I know where I am, and I know what time it is. But we're going to look at some of the reforms he instituted and how he brought the nation of Israel back to the Lord. And he was one man, he made a difference in the spiritual life of a nation. So what we're going to do is read the first seven verses. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to skip around in the chapter a little bit. But we'll read we'll read the first seven verses of chapter 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. And they broke down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down. And the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images, he broke in pieces and made dust of them, and strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. First of all, we see in verse 1 that Josiah was 8 years old when he became king of Israel. He was just a kid. I mean, he was a young child. There are not too many 8-year-olds who can say that they've been the leader of a nation, but King Josiah was 8 years old when he became king of the nation of Judah. And in verse 2, I think we have a summary of his life, of his character, in verse 2. If you notice what it says there, and it says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, that's number 1. He walked in the ways of David his father, number 2, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left, number 3. He did those three things which characterized his reign and his character. First of all, verse 2, it says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. In other words, King Josiah was obedient to God, even at a young age, even at 8 years old. He was obedient to the Lord God of Israel. And it said that he walked in the ways of his father David. Now, of course, we understand that David was not his biological father, but he was a spiritual father. In that as David was obedient to the Lord, Josiah was too. And we also see in verse 2 that he declined neither to the left nor to the right. King Josiah not only started Judah on the road to or the path of obedience to God, he kept the nation on that pathway of obedience to God as king. He was a youngster that made an impact upon this great nation. And we see in verse 3 that he started the instituted the reforms, and where he began those reforms in verse 3. It says, therefore, in the 8th year of his reign, that is when he was 16 years old, he was a teenager. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, the groves, the carved images, and the molten images. When he was 16 years old, he began to have a yearning in his heart for God. I think it's interesting. Most 16-year-olds, I don't think, would fall into that category of having a yearning in their heart for God. I'm sure that's happened. I mean, I'm sure there were teenagers in our fellowship over the years when they were 16, 17, 18 years old. They started to seek the Lord. They wanted to live a godly life. I'm sure that happens, but it seems that in our society today among believers is a rare thing. But King Josiah, when he was 16 years old, he had a yearning in his heart for God. And when he was 20 years old, it says there, he purged Judah from the idolatry that the people had engaged in. He got rid of the graven images that the people had worshipped. The Asherim, he got rid of those. Now, the Asherim or the Asherah was the female deity of the Canaanites that the people of Israel worshipped. Can you imagine having a piece of wood that looks like a woman falling down in front of that piece of wood and worshipping that piece of wood as God? You know, that boggles our imagination today. But that's exactly what the people of Israel were doing. They were engaging in the wicked, evil practice of idolatry. And we're going to take a little bit closer look at that as we go along. But in verse 4, it says that King Josiah broke down all the altars of Baal in verse 4. Broke down the altars of Balaam in his presence. Now, what we're talking about here is Josiah personally supervised the destruction of the idols. He personally supervised the destruction of the graven images, the molten images. He made sure they were all torn down or cut down. And he made dust of them all. He shattered these images and completely destroyed them. And I was thinking about that as an application for you and I. You know, in our Christian experience, I think sometimes we get off on the right track as far as our obedience to God is concerned. And we need to live our lives as believers, as we all agree with the fact that there shouldn't be any hindrances in our lives in living for the Lord. Many times there are, aren't they? Many times there's something in our lives that's going on. Maybe we don't know about it. Maybe we do know about it, and we don't want to deal with it. I know Gil on Sunday morning revealed to us his struggle with anger. And you know, it doesn't have to necessarily have to be anger. It could be any number of things that you and I have going on in our lives that would hinder our walk and our obedience to God. And it's interesting that all these idols, all these horrible things that the people worshipped, inanimate objects that the people worshipped, King Josiah tore every one of them down and destroyed them all. Isn't that what we should do as believers if we have something blocking our fellowship or our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Brother, sister in Christ, shouldn't we tear those things down? Shouldn't we get rid of them? And, you know, that's hard for me to say that because I'm well aware of some things in my life that need to be torn down, you know, that I struggle with. And I know there's some things in your life that you struggle with. But King Josiah is a wonderful example to us of purging those things that could be considered wicked or evil in our life, and he got rid of them. He got rid of those idols, not only for the nation of Israel, but he got rid of them for the glory of God. And I think that's the way we have to look at it. But in verse 5, it says that King Josiah burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. He took the dead bodies of the idolatrous priests. He burned them upon their altars. And this was an act of cleansing. I think it's in many ways it was a symbolic act that King Josiah did. But the people noticed that. The people of Judah would notice that this king meant business with God. That this king was serious about getting rid of all the wicked, evil influences that had turned the nation of Israel away from God. The people saw that. They knew it. They knew that King Josiah was a king who was going to get rid of all these things. That he was going to crush, tear down, or whatever it took to get rid of all the idols in the nation of Israel and or in the kingdom of Judah. And in verse 6, we see that he went to all the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, even unto Naphtali. He went to all these cities, as many as possible, and he purged and got rid of all the idols. He got rid of hint of any evil practice of idolatry. He got rid of it all. He did away with it. And in verse 7, it says that he broke down the altars, the groves, he beat the graven images into powder, cut down the idols throughout all the land of Israel. Then after he got through with all that, he went back home to Jerusalem. Josiah broke down the images. He chopped down the idols. He pounded the images of the false gods into powder. He did a thorough job, didn't he? And if you tear down an image and just destroy it to the point where it's nothing but powder, you can take that and you can just throw it on the ground and that'll be the end of it. You'll never see it again. And that's what King Josiah wanted to do. He wanted to eliminate this horrible, awful practice of idolatry to the point where the people of Israel would never know that it had been there. And he was determined to get rid of all those things, the evil idolatry. The whole, and you know, and we have to take into consideration what was going on in the nation of Israel this time. The whole nation was permeated with idolatry. The people had literally turned their backs on God. And the Lord was no longer the center of their spiritual life. And as I mentioned before, maybe there's something in our lives that we need to tear down, something that in our lives that hinder our relationship with God. And maybe we should beat those things into powder like Josiah beat those images into powder and scattered them all over the ground. That's something to think about. And I think, you know, you and I as Christians, we have a wonderful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I don't know about you, but I hate dealing with my sin nature. I really do. I get tired of that. I'm looking forward to going to heaven and being done with it. And there won't be any more hindrances in heaven. As you know, Michael mentioned, he made mention of that fact. There won't be any more hindrances to our relationship with the Lord then. But, you know, in this life, you and I, we've got work to do. We've got work to do in our own lives. We've got things going on that may hinder our service for God. It may hinder our relationships with each other. And certainly it will hinder our relationships with the Lord. And we need to take a look at those things. We need to get before the Lord and evaluate those things. And it's hard, it's tough for me to do something like that. It really is. But it can be done. We have a merciful and compassionate God. He'll forgive. He'll restore. He'll turn us around. He can do that. But in the first seven verses, we see that the first reform that King Josiah instituted in turning the nation of Israel back to God was he got rid of all the idols. He tore them. He turned them into powder. And there is something else that's in verses 8, 9, and 10, and we're going to read those in a few minutes. This is the next reform that the king brought to the nation of Judah. And reading in verse 8, we'll start right there. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they had came in, and when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. This particular passage is talking about the repair of the temple. You know, it had been years, decades, that the people of Israel had quit worshiping the Lord. I mean, they had completely turned their backs on God, and the temple, this is where the nation worshiped God, that's where they met God, and the temple had gone to the point of being in such disarray and disrepair that it was probably unrecognizable as God's holy temple. It was in that condition. And in verse 8, we see that Josiah sent his emissaries out to make sure that the temple of God was repaired. And they got the money to pay the workmen. The temple had been so neglected that it was probably no longer the structure that God had intended it to be. And we recall, if you read the Old Testament scriptures, you'll find out a detailed map or blueprints of how the temple was built, the materials that was used, the dimensions that the Lord told them. It was very precise and very exact. God had a special thing or a special way, or he wanted a special temple prepared for him. And that temple was no longer functioning as a temple of God. It was in such horrible condition and in disrepair. And I think there's an application here for us. You know, if the work of God is neglected, if the work of God is left in disarray, the people's spiritual life will suffer. It will suffer. You know, I've been to assemblies, a few, over the years. And I've seen how the work in those assemblies had been neglected. I've seen how that the people there that used to be a wonderful, vibrant, growing assembly just had a few people with. It's sad. It's sad. The work of God had been neglected. And you could tell it on the face, the people, that some of them looked real discouraged, some of them looked depressed. And that's what happened to the temple of Israel here. It had been neglected to the point where it needed major repairs to go on. And King Josiah was determined. He was determined before God to make sure that that temple was repaired and repaired according exactly the way that the Lord God of Israel wanted it. And he instituted this reform by repairing the temple. And it needed it badly, needed it badly. So we see here in this, in that passage that, that reform of repairing the temple was the next thing that he tackled. And also in verse 14, if you turn over to verse 14, some of the Israelites made an incredible discovery. Let's read about that in verse 14, verses 14 through 16. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. Here in this passage, in the temple, as they were repairing it, they discovered the book of the law. Now, some Bible commentators say that they found the book of Deuteronomy. That was what they said. We're not sure. It could have been the whole book of the law, that is, the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy, or it could have been just one part of it. But in any case, they found the book of the law. They found a copy of the Word of God. It was discovered, and that book was taken to the king. And you know, one of the most precious things the nation of Israel had was the Word of God, the law of God. We don't realize how wonderful, and I'm not saying that the Old Testament law is something that we ought to adhere to and follow. What I'm saying is, for the nation of Israel, for the Jewish people, that the book of the law was precious in their sight. It had come from God. Those laws, those regulations that the people of Israel followed, that they came from the Lord. They didn't come from a human being, you see. And so they discovered the book of the law. And if we go down to verse 18, it says, then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. We see that when the book of the law was read to King Josiah, he literally tore his clothes. And Josiah's heart, I think he was convicted by the fact that he realized that the terrible sin of the people over the years they had committed, they had neglected God's holy word. They had neglected that. They had not only neglected the word of God, they had disobeyed it. They lived lives of total disobedience to God. And we see that the people of Israel, this was a newfound discovery for them, that many of the people of Israel, maybe even King Josiah himself, had never heard the book of the law read in their presence. It's possible. But we see here that King Josiah, after he discovered the law, we see in verse 21, that in verse 21 he says, halfway through that verse, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we must obey the word of God. And you may say, well, you know, Earl, I already know that. Why are you telling me this? Well, you know, the scriptures are in the faith that we, in faith in Christ, and when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we understand how precious the Word of God is to our hearts and to our minds. And we have to understand that our faith is built upon the Word of God. That you and I as believers, we stand or fall on God's holy, inspired, inerrant Word. You and I understand that that this Word is not from some human concoction or some great human intellect. These words that you have, that we have a copy of, that you're holding in your lap, these are the very words of the Lord God of this universe. He gave it to us. And just like the book of the law had been neglected sorely, the book of the law had been neglected by the people in Israel in such a way that they had turned their backs on God and become disobedient. See, that's what happens when you and I become disobedient to the Word of God. We're liable in many cases to turn our backs on God if we neglect His Word. God forbid that you and I as believers should turn our backs on the Word of God. It's given to us. And we have a responsibility before God to obey it. That's our responsibility. And the people of Israel and Judah had gotten to the point where the book of the law, the Word of God, no impact upon their hearts and minds because they had neglected it so badly. And now King Josiah, he's got this reform, he's got the book of the law, and we're going to end up in it in a few minutes, just a couple of minutes. And we're not going to read the rest of these passages. But he bought this book of the law before the people, and the king himself bought the book of the law, and he read it in the hearing of the people. All the elders of Israel, it says, all the people of Israel, small and great, heard the book of the law read in their presence. And King Josiah made a covenant before the people. He said, we are going to obey this book. We are, as the people of God, we are going to turn back from our sinful, wicked ways, and we are going to turn to His book, His law, and we will obey it. That's what King Josiah did. And he led the people of Israel in obedience to God. We see also in chapter 35 that he reinstituted the Passover feast. And it says in there that this Passover feast hadn't been celebrated like this since the time of Samuel and the prophets. There had never been a Passover feast like the feast that King Josiah instituted for Israel. And this man, you know, he is an incredible, wonderful. I was thinking about this afternoon. He's such a wonderful example of a godly leader. Isn't that what we need in our nation right now, godly leaders? I don't know if we're going to have that and get that. That's what we need in the church, brothers, sisters in Christ. We need godly leaders. King Josiah was a wonderful example of that, of how one man can make a difference in the spiritual life of a nation. He instituted these reforms, and you know, the nation of Israel, you know, I spent a lot of time in, you know, going over the fact of how they had neglected the Lord and how they turned their backs on God, and that's true, but King Josiah bought the nation of Israel back to God. He bought the people of Israel back to the Lord. And I think that's something that you and I, as believers, can think about tonight, I hope. And let's remember the preeminence of the scriptures. You know, the Lord, He speaks so clearly to us through His Word. He can comfort, encourage, rebuke, reprove us through His Word. There are so many things that are in the scriptures that are such a wonderful benefit to us. And let's don't neglect that. You know, let's don't neglect God's holy, perfect, inspired Word. What a wonderful gift it is from God to us. And King Josiah was a man of who had a heart for God. Even at 8 years old, he carried through with his institution of his reforms throughout the time of his whole reign during this time. And I think that's a wonderful example and something that you and I can learn. And that's the end of our message tonight, and I believe Michael has a prayer request.